the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew. There are chapter 23. There are 39 verses in this chapter. There's translation and commentary. And then also this is part 6 of regeneration. We have several letters here, and one very interesting one from a former Monsignor in the Catholic religion or cult, and we're going to read that, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this service so that it can be inwardly received, inwardly anointed in you, those of you that are saved and those of you that are not saved, that you'll get saved. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, for immortality. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls, and Lord, for your outward anointing to give more power, more strength, more of your power to the church, the body of Christ, the church, the true church, and also, Lord, to open the ears, the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes of those out in the world in radio land that are hearing this message so that they can, in their spirit, hear the word, the spirit of your word, and also are able to see that the things that you anoint me with are the very things that they need to receive eternal life, immortality, permanent life in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we ask all these that you do that in this service, particularly, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
It's a call from an ex-priest from Costa Rica who got saved after reading your Spanish earthquake newsletter. He said he was a Monsignor in the Catholic institution, and after reading your newsletter, he started reading the Bible and saw how he was in the wrong religion. He said the sinner's prayer, was saved, and started seeking the Lord. He moved away from where he served as a Monsignor and requested literature and books to learn more of the evils of the Catholic cult. He sent in a letter of resignation stating how he had received the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today he received a response to his resignation. It was approved, but a friend of his who is also a priest told him to be very careful and watchful because he learned that there is a death sentence on his life because of it. He called requesting everyone in the church to please pray for him for the Lord to protect him.
Well, there's no question about that. There's a hit on people that recant the Catholic cult because of the fact that President Lincoln was so popular. And he wrote many things in his books how evil the Catholic cult was. He said there's a black cloud coming over America, and he said it's coming from Rome. And he kept on saying these things, and there was a group of conspirators from the Vatican that were the conspirators that had killed him. There was more than just Booth that assassinated him. There was a woman and several other Catholics, and the Vatican immediately spirited them across the border from the United States into Canada, and then got them passage to the Vatican, and they hid them there. Booth, I believe, was killed or burnt to death in a barn somewhere. But he died. When he was dying, he had a Catholic medal of Mary in his hand saying, "Death to the tyrants." These are the people that have consistently murdered millions of saints of the Lord. When they would become born-again Christians, they would burn them at the stake, feed them to the lions, and many other atrocities, torture them to death, throw them in prisons, you name it, they do it. they boycott people if you receive the Lord. I had a hit record on the national charts. It was number 50, and because of the fact that I preached the gospel to Catholics, and a lot, they claimed that I split that cult down the middle. They used to have 1 billion followers. Now it's back around 15 years ago to 20 years ago. They say that, but with the piece of literature that I'd written entitled The Pope's Secrets, that it cut their cult in half. And one of them in their, this was written in their own newspapers, and one of their followers stated, it would be wonderful if Pastor Tony Alamo would become a Catholic. Then it would be a tribute. It would be like another Apostle Paul. Let me tell you something, all you Catholics, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was never a Catholic. He was a Jew, he was a born-again Christian, and was appalled at any false doctrine. As a matter of fact, he's the very one that stated that anyone that preaches any other doctrine, any other gospel than that which he and the other apostles had preached in the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. And then he repeated it again. And so, let everybody that is a born-again Christian out there pray for this former Monsignor, this newly born of the Spirit Christian now. There are many. I had letters in from cardinals that have gotten saved from my literature, rabbis, all sorts of people, people that were Muslims and high officials and all different other false religions. So let's all pray, Father, protect this man in the mighty name of Jesus, this brother in Christ. And Lord, encourage him. Make sure, Father God, that you move upon the people that work in our literature room, in the mail room, to keep him supplied with literature and also these tapes. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, what else do we have here?
An email from Punjab, Pakistan. Dear precious Tony Alamo, I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the first place, I would like to say thank to God who has given you to me. He has given the word of his mouth to you. Secondly, I would like to say thank you very much for sending me the materials, the Messiah, the six Bibles, and some other assorted world newsletters. Pastor Alamo, your materials are very inspiring, provoking, and educative. I would like also to make my comments concerning the Alamo Christian Ministries. My comments are that I personally have heard many preachers preaching the Word of God and have read a lot of Christian books, magazines, and booklets written by different ministries. But I have seen there is a big difference with your preaching and written materials that you sent me. Therefore, I am convinced that you are an apostle of God. I would like to request...
You know, an apostle is one that has seen Christ. And I reckon I am an apostle because I swear before the Almighty God, to all you folks out there in Radio Land and everywhere else, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ appear before me with my eyes wide open. That happened about, 60, I was saved. The Lord first talked to me in 64, and this happened to me in about 67 or 68. He appeared right in front of my eyes. I was wide awake. All right, and then go ahead.
I would like to request for your soul-winning literature for an event which is organized every year by the Catholics. I plan to go there where thousands of people will come daily for 5 days. I hope you will send me your literature to distribute there. I hope God will work there, and I know the Holy Spirit will change those people with the help of Alamo literature. I would like to mention that this fair will be held on this September 2nd to the 5th, 2005.
Well, make sure that this man is loaded to the gills, loaded to the hilt with all these, with all the literature that we can get to him. And we have millions, millions and millions of pieces of literature, so load him up. Okay, then what else?
I also would like to request for your prayers for me because I am facing hardships in my course. One of the Catholic clergymen and his officials abused me for my work and tried to beat me and also told me to stop the work over here. I hope you and your whole team will pray for me that I might be victorious in my work. I would like to request for you to put my name in your monthly mailing list. I am ending my mail in hope of opening a new chapter of my life onwards. May God bless you, your family, and every single person who is part of the body of Christ, in Christ, Imran from Punjab, Pakistan.
Now, Father God, we pray for this man, and we pray for all those that are so hateful, that you will, that are wanting to kill people when they become born-again, spirit-filled Christians, and that are wanting to torture people that are becoming born-again, spirit-filled Christians that have a zeal to get your word out because they know that you're coming to earth real soon. Lord, help the people that they are persecuting, and help the persecutors, Lord, to where they will be saved, so that they become brothers, just as the Apostle Paul was when you appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Lord, Father God, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, then what?
Then an email from Nigeria, Africa. Pastor, you are indeed a blessing to this generation. I got your materials you sent to me. They, too, were wonderful. Sir, since you have sent those materials to me, it has really improved my evangelistic work. Pastor, your book, The Messiah, has really become an instrument of winning, just in a little time, converts in a week. It is indeed a weapon for winning souls. Our ministry has decided to be interceding for your ministry. Sir, so many that receive your writings from me have been clamoring for more.
Praise the Lord. And what?
Sir, we will need more of your literatures and Bibles for the new converts.
Load them up as well. Then what?
Please, sir, keep on the good work of faith you are doing.
Oh, don't worry about that, brother. We will. The Lord knows how to keep my nose to the grindstone here. And it's a pleasure to me. It's a labor of love. It's not a labor at all. Then what?
I love you and the ministry.
Love you too, brother or sister, whoever you are. Then what?
I would like for you to send me a t-shirt and sweatshirt. My size is extra large. Thank you for being there for us. Brother Oni Emmanuel from Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, praise the Lord, and thank you for being there for the Lord. And I'm sure the Lord will bless you very much. And we, however the Lord allows us to be a blessing to you, we certainly will be. All right, and then what else? Do you have anything else?
Yes, then another email from Ghana, West Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you and your family, as well as your congregation, are doing strong and healthy by the grace of God. In fact, Pastor, I was so impressed when I received your newsletters from a friend, and after reading them, I found out that God is really using you to do his work properly through the spreading of his words to win the lost souls for him. May he bless you a lot. Pastor, I read so many testimonies from the paper, including one, a boy wrote to you from Ghana saying that he was a bad boy and was rejected by his family some time ago. And now thank God that he is a true Christian after reading your literature entitled Dry Bones. I was also a bad boy as he was.
Now, Dry Bones is report. It's actually my testimony. One of my testimony tracks, and yeah, you know, it's very supernatural. Everyone should have one. So if you'd like one, just email us or write us or give us a buzz. All right, what else?
I was also a bad boy as he was, disrespectful and rejected by my family. But thank God I found myself under his feet, having in my hands your newsletter talking about love and affection. This has changed my life a lot. Thank you very much. You have let me know the true love and the love by God. And if I turn away from him, what will happen to me? Continue to send this message free across the world, and I know God will bless you. Please send me a Bible and your book, The Messiah, also the available tape messages, as I will be very grateful to receive them, including the newsletters for the other youths in my church. Thank you very much, and may God bless you richly with all that you need. Brother Kingsley from Ghana, West Africa.
Praise the Lord. All right, do we have any more?
No.
Not tonight?
No.
No, because all we'd be doing is reading letters tonight. Amen? We've got plenty of them, right?
Yes.
All right, now let's go to the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and we'll just go, because we have 39 verses here, we'll go to the translation. All right, verse 1.
Jesus warns the religious leaders. Verse 1. Then Jesus said to the
crowd...
Yeah,
see, that's what we're doing, is rebuking and warning all the religious leaders in the world of these false religions. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that was born in us that is doing that. We actually are the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. We are part of the members of the body of Christ. Okay, go ahead.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, verse 2, quote, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the scriptures. Verse 3, so practice and obey what they say to you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach.
In other words, they're hypocrites. Then what?
Verse 4, they crush you with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to help ease the burden. Verse 5, anything they do is for show. On their arms they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear extra long tassels on their robes. Verse 6, and how they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and in the most prominent seats in the synagogue! Exclamation mark. Verse 7, they enjoy the attention they get on the streets, and they enjoy being called, quote, rabbi, unquote.
Which means master or teacher. Then what?
Verse 8, don't ever let anyone call you, quote, rabbi, unquote, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are on the same level as brothers and sisters. Verse 9, don't address anyone here on earth as, quote, father, unquote, for only God in heaven is your spiritual father. Verse 10, and don't let anyone call you, quote, master, unquote, for there is only one master, the Messiah. Verse 11, the greatest among you must be a servant. Verse 12, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Verse 13, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! Exclamation mark. Verse 14, for you won't let others into the kingdom of heaven, and you won't go in yourselves. Verse 15, yes, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees.
So he's telling all you false religions out there how terrible it will be for you, you false teachers, you false religions. And it's the same thing today as it was then. He's talking to the Jewish, what they call rabbis, the Hebrews. And they were the original religion, and yet they would not believe the over 333 different prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And so they read the scriptures for no avail. So they knew the scriptures, but they missed the very quiescence of it, of the scriptures. They missed salvation. And all they were teaching were customs and just a bunch of ceremonies that were meaningless, instead of the weightier things, the weightier things of the law. And they didn't recognize the Messiah when he was here. All right, then what?
Yes, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, for you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn him into twice the son of hell as you yourselves are.
Oh, wait a minute, so he's saying that all the false religions and the teachers and even the students of the law in false religions are what of hell?
twice the son of hell.
They're the sons of hell. And they convert, when they convert somebody to their hellish false religion, they make them twice the sons of hell. So, you know, if I were one of you, that would stick in my brain like the hair in a drain. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 16, blind guides, exclamation mark.
He calls them blind, just like they are today. Then what?
How terrible it will be for you, exclamation mark.
How terrible it will be for you. Because you, if you don't, if you're not saved, if you don't repent, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, hell in the lake of fire. All right, then what?
For you say that it means nothing to swear, quote, by God's temple, unquote, you can break that oath. But then you say that it is binding to swear, quote, by the gold in the temple, unquote. Verse 17. Blind fools, exclamation mark.
Oh, the Lord says, don't call any man a fool. You're in danger of hell fire. But the Lord knows, because when you're saying you blind fool, that means that you're a person that doesn't believe in God, because that's what a fool is. And somebody that just continues on in false religion, and they hear the truth and they reject it, they are blind, just like Jesus said. That's not what I wrote, that is Bible, that you're a blind fool. Why? Because Jesus said so. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it's Jesus saying it. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you what Jesus calls a blind fool. That's people in false religions, and they cast aside true salvation. Then what?
Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? Verse 18. And you say that an oath taken, quote, by the altar, unquote, can be broken. But to swear, quote, by the gifts on the altar, unquote, is binding.
In other words, you know, we're supposed to lay our lives down on the altar, so to speak. But they're saying, well, that can be broken. In other words, you could accept the Lord Jesus Christ and then fall away from the Lord. And as long as you give gold. So they're saying, just bring the money and we don't care if your souls go to hell. That's what they're saying. Amen?
Amen.
So it's all right, you know, you can break any vow. That, in other words, we're supposed to offer our bodies as a human sacrifice unto the Lord to do His will, not to burn or to be put ourselves to death or anything, but to be a living sacrifice for the Lord to live in and work in and work through. But he says, you can break that vow when you say you're going to serve the Lord. But make sure you continue bringing money in. He says, what's more important, the temple of God, which is you? And if you break any commandments, you don't get to go to heaven and He won't live in you. Or they're trying to make it that the gold, the money that you give, is more important than you and the temple of God, which you are. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that you're not your own, you don't belong to yourself, because the Lord bought us from the condemnation. He bought us from the law. The law condemned us, and the law is so legal, so strict. God's law is that even God had to pay the price to the law, and there wasn't any price that would satisfy God's strict legal law with the except His Son Christ Jesus. And so God knows that the law is not over with more than anybody, because it was because of the law not being over with that He had to give His only begotten Son to die to get humanity off the hook. So God had the deal that God made with the law. It's like the law says, you know, God, if you're so benevolent to get everybody in the world off the hook from the condemnation of the law, then put up or shut up. You have to die yourself. You have to send your Son, who is God, also, and you are in him, you're going to have to die on the cross for the sins of the world. That's how legal the law is, and that's how, if God can't get away or hoodwink the law into giving up humanity for any other price than himself, then how can you think that you could possibly get by with breaking the law? And then the Lord says, after you make a commitment to keep the law, then he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. And the Bible tells us that the worst thing that could happen to you is that there remains no more forgiveness for you. In other words, after you commit horrible sin, sin that is not ignorance, that is willful, wanting sinfulness, because you saw your mother being a whore or your dad being a pimp, and you think, well, it runs in the family, and so I can do it, and I didn't see anything bad happen to mom and dad or sister or brother, and you think that you can do that, let me tell you that God couldn't get by or say, well, you know, let's wink law, just wink at the sins of this person or that person. Let them go by. Give them a pass. But the law is so strict that even God couldn't get a pass. And so don't think that you can. When he says go and sin no more, that's exactly what it means. Because he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to pay the price, to fulfill the price of the law for humanity. Now, I'm buying you once. I'm getting you off the hook once. But now go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. Because if you, after tasting the good word of God, after knowing the good word of God, and seeing the power of the word of God, and seeing tasting of eternity, after that you turn your back on God and think that you can go and sin after he paid such a price for your salvation. So he says there would be, it'd be better that you'd never been born. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's go on.
Verse 19, how blind, exclamation mark. For which is greater, the gift on the altar or the altar which makes the gift sacred?
Right. When you give your life to God, in the Spirit of God in you, or you put your life on the altar, then you are not your own any longer. And the Lord that's living in you, because you're on the altar, there isn't anything more powerful, more meaningful than that. So give your life to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 20, when you swear, quote, by the altar, unquote, you are swearing by it and by everything on it. Verse 21, and when you swear, quote, by the temple, unquote, you are swearing by it and by God who lives in it.
See, there's no man-made temple of God anymore. The Jews may call their synagogues temples, but the temple of God is not made by hands any longer. We are the temple of God. Then what?
Verse 22, and when you swear by heaven, you are swearing by the throne of God and by God who sits on the throne. Verse 23, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. Exclamation mark.
How terrible it will be for you people that are hypocrites and teachers of the law. Okay? Then what?
For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the more important things. Verse 24. Blind guides! Exclamation mark. You strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, then you swallow a camel! Exclamation mark. Verse 25, how terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! Exclamation mark. You are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. Verse 26. Blind Pharisees! First wash the inside of the cup, and then the outside will become clean also. Verse 27. How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees.
See, so people in these theological seminaries, he's saying it will be terrible for you. You know, because these theological seminaries teach you about 15 different versions of what you could believe and what you can't, you shouldn't, or maybe you can, maybe this is right, maybe that's wrong. They don't have any conclusive, they're not spiritual enough to have received the actual one and only translation of the Word of God. The one and only interpretation. There's no two interpretations or more, but they give you a half a dozen to a dozen or 15 of them. The Bible plainly states that there's no private interpretation of the Scriptures because it was given by the Holy Spirit to Spirit-filled men, saints, prophets, and they got it down just exactly right. So, stay away from theological seminaries. Susie used to call them cemeteries, theological cemeteries. I've never seen anyone come out of one of them that has done a great and mighty spiritual work for the Lord. The Lord never went to a theological cemetery, nor did he, the Apostle Paul, or any of the apostles. All right, then what?
How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Verse 28. You try to look like upright people outwardly, but inside your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Verse 29. How terrible it will be for you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites!
Over and over again he tells them how terrible it will be. And it's the same thing for those today. Then what else?
For you build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed and decorate the graves of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Verse 30. Then you say, we never would have joined them in killing the prophets. Verse 31, I'm saying that you are accusing yourselves of being the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Verse 32, go ahead, finish what they started! Verse 33, snakes! Sons of vipers!
Wow, this is, a lot of people would say Jesus is very rude here. How could a God talk this way to religious leaders or any of his people that he created? Well, because God doesn't like hypocrites and satanic people. He's calling them what they are: vipers, snakes, hypocrites, sons of the devil, sons of hell. Go ahead.
How will you escape the judgment of hell? Verse 34. I will send you prophets and wise men and teachers of religious law. You will kill some by crucifixion and whip others in your synagogues, chasing them from city to city. Verse 35. As a result, you will become guilty of murdering all the godly people, from righteous Abel to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered in the temple between the altar and the sanctuary. Verse 36. I assure you, all the accumulated judgment of the centuries will break upon the heads of this very generation. Jesus grieves for Jerusalem. Verse 37. Quote, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers! How often I have wanted to gather thy children together as a hen who takes her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Verse 38. And now look, your house is left to you empty and desolate. Verse 39. For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say, quote, bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord, exclamation mark, unquote.
All right, that was the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and now 23rd chapter was the 39 verses translation of the commentary.
Chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. The Pharisees and Jewish leaders are classic examples of people who live by a double standard. They made these standards of behavior for others impossibly difficult, but they failed to keep these stipulations themselves. In spite of their shortcomings, they demanded to be called by titles fit only for God. They did not realize that true greatness begins with humility and is proven by willingness to help others. The Pharisees' pride kept them from seeing their true need for God. Chapter 23, verses 13 through 36. Jesus gave many warnings of impending judgment to all the spiritually blind religious leaders because of their hypocrisy. They had an external rhetoric and ritualism. All these were shams, all show with this hypocrisy. And this also shows that they had no inner relationship with the Lord, no inner reality. Such people as this cause many others a great pain because they have been doing religious things that have nothing to do with eternal life. So they themselves are far from salvation. But there is hope for every repentant one. Even hypocrites can repent. A lot of people think that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were hypocrites. They were numbered among the hypocrites, but they just followed the Lord by night. Eventually, they found salvation through belief in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. See John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42. If we seek the Lord, we shall find him. If we search for the Lord, he shall be found of us, and he will help you become born again of the Spirit and even cause you to grow in the Spirit.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, part six of regeneration.
The conditions of regeneration. Now, the experience of regeneration, or being born again of the Spirit, is especially related to four things: our nature, our heart, our spirit, and God's Spirit, or his everlasting, permanent, eternal life, mingling with our temporal life. From the aspects of these four things, therefore, we've got to look at our condition before we become regenerated or born again of the Spirit, because during regeneration and after regeneration, we've got to remember the pit that we were dug out of. We've got to know that we're sinners. Otherwise, why should we repent? The condition before regeneration is, firstly, our nature is corrupted before that happens. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, quote, the heart is deceitful above all things, and that it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Unquote. Although this verse speaks of man's heart, it actually refers to man's human nature. Therefore, we see that before we become born again of the Spirit, or we have God's permanent life, before we become regenerated, before we have eternal life, our original nature is deceitful and crooked, extremely corrupt, because it was corrupted and unable to match up with God's nature.
All right. That was the 23rd chapter of Matthew, with its 39 verses, translation, commentary, in part 6 of regeneration. Till tomorrow, Matthew, the 24th chapter, in part 7 of regeneration. This is Pastor Tony Alamo stating, stay regenerated. We stay regenerated by reading the Word and by staying at the throne. Look at the Word, read it, and do what it says. And until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.